Romans chapter number 12, and we're going to just read the first two verses together this morning. Romans chapter number 12, and if I were to ask many people, you may be able to just go ahead and quote these verses for us, but I'm going to read them out loud. Romans chapter 12, if you found it and you're able to, let's stand together for the reading of the Word of God. Two simple verses. We say simple, easy to read, hard to live. Romans 12, beginning in verse number 1, the Apostle Paul said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If you have your Bibles open, you're able to, why don't we read verse number 1 together? Romans 12, verse number 1. You ready? All together. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I'm going to preach a simple thought this morning on this subject matter on willing to sacrifice. Willing to sacrifice. Let's pray together and then you can be seated. Father, we love you. Thank you so much. I still believe we live in the greatest nation on the face of the earth. And Lord, I'm thankful for the freedom that we hold dear to us this morning to be able to assemble together, to have the Word of God opened. And Lord, for us to be able to pray publicly. Lord, without fear of persecution or hindering this morning. And Lord, I pray that we would cherish that we would stand for that. And Lord, I pray that you'd work in our hearts and lives. Lord, would you speak to our hearts about this matter of sacrifice to you. And Lord, you're so worthy of that. And so, Lord, would you do a work that only you can do? We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. As I looked at this subject matter, willing to sacrifice, out of Romans chapter number 12 here, I was thinking about September the 11th, and I heard a testimony lately, just recently, probably over the past week and a half, and it was a young man that was speaking. Of course, he's probably, I say young man, he's probably about as old as I am, my mid-40s, that's a young man. And he had said that on that day when 9/11 took place, that he made 3 phone calls, and one of them was to family, and one of them, I think, may have been to his wife. And he said the 3rd phone call was to my recruiter. And he said, I walked down and I signed on the dotted line. And he said at that point, and thankfully he survived the past 20 years, but thankfully at that point he was willing, as many other young men and ladies were willing to do in that aftermath and also for the years since then, to step up and be willing to pay and make the ultimate sacrifice for the freedoms that we hold dear to us today. It won't be a message about America, but can I say I desire for that exact same spirit to be prevalent inside the hearts of each and every one that professes the name of Christ today. Not the matter of, I want to go to war and I'm willing to lay down my life for the cause of Christ. And listen, I'm not saying that in the next 50 years we wouldn't be required to face that decision in our lives. But we're going to see some things in the Bible this morning that the Bible's not asking us, and Christ has never asked us to go and sacrifice our lives and to die for Him. But He has over and over asked us to be able to live for Him. And many times, as we would say, and I believe it's a sad state, that if there are Christians that are under the sound of my voice today, whether it be in the church house or via the live stream, that there's many that would be willing to do more for their nation than they would for the Christ that died for them and rose again and has provided eternal salvation for each and every one of us. May I say this? I never want it to be said that I'm actually more patriotic than I am Christian. I'm thankful for America, and I don't believe there's one doubt that anybody would have here in their hearts, in their lives, that I love our nation. Can I say this? I love Jesus. And I'm thankful for what Christ has done in my heart and life. And when we come to a couple verses like Romans chapter number 12, when he talks about us being willing to sacrifice our lives for him, not in death, but really in life. I want you to see just a few things that I saw simply in these couple verses. First of all, being willing to sacrifice comes from a realization of his mercy towards us. The Apostle Paul starts off, "I beseech you." That's one of the strongest words that can actually be used in that verbiage. I beseech you, I beg of you, I implore you, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. He's speaking to those of us that are saved, those of us that profess the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. But he said this, "I am begging you, I am beseeching you," but it's based upon these credentials. By the mercies of God. And if there is ever something that ought to compel us in our Christian lives to be willing to sacrifice our lives for the Lord Jesus Christ, it ought to be the realization of the mercy that he has bestowed upon us. I was reminded again early this morning of verses that we read throughout the scripture, actually earlier in the book of Romans, where he said that there is none righteous, no, not one. I was reminded of where it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." I was reminded where he said, "For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." I was reminded of Isaiah when Isaiah said in Isaiah 64 that all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. He said in Isaiah 53 that all we like sheep have gone astray. I still believe that all means all. And that means every one of us that are under the sound of my voice, including myself today, listen, are sinners before Almighty God. Every one of us, according to Paul's writing in Ephesians chapter number 2, that we were dead in trespasses and sins. Every one of us are in that spiritual condition. And he said there around verse number 2 that by nature, it was bred into us by nature. We are the children of wrath, even as others. You say, why are you condemning us so much and telling us our sinful condition this morning? Because listen, the Bible reminds us in Lamentations chapter number 3, verse number 22, that says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed." Hey, listen, just go ahead and add up the number of sins that you've committed just over this past week. And we will spend eternity thanking God for his mercy. Now listen, mercy is different than grace. Grace is God bestowing something upon us that we don't deserve. And mercy is God withholding things for that which we do deserve. When someone will stand before an earthly judge, they will stand there and they will plead their case and they will say, "Judge, we plead for mercy. I understand that this is what I deserve, but I'm asking you to show mercy upon my life." And I'm so thankful, listen, as the Apostle Paul is beseeching us and begging us and imploring us by the mercies of God. Listen, the realization of his mercy. I want you to see how the Apostle Paul put it in 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, as I read over in this verse, I thought how fitting it is in the context of Scripture. We read in the entire book of 1 Corinthians, everything that was wrong and messed up. I'm sure it wasn't an exhaustive list of everything, but it was pretty bad in the church at Corinth when you read through 1 Corinthians. And when you read down through 1 Corinthians, there was so much sin that was prevalent in that church that was there. And the Apostle Paul is writing them throughout that 1 Corinthians and naming that sin and pointing that out to them and saying, hey, this is wrong and ought not to be taking place in church. And you don't have this right, and you need to get it right, and you need to change this over here. And over and over and over. Can you imagine how it was when 1 Corinthians was read in the ears of the Corinthian church? When that courier would come through and he had the letter to the Corinthians, and they would say, oh, Paul wrote to us. Let's hear what Paul has to say. And they stood up and read everything that Paul had. I'm thinking, man, if I was sitting in that auditorium, wherever that meeting place was, I'd be sliding down underneath that chair just saying, hey, I might not have been the one having an affair with my stepmother, but I didn't deal about with it in the church. And man, this church is in rough shape right now. Imagine if you were a visitor that day and the letter from Paul happened to be read the Sunday that you decided to show up. I believe there are some that probably walked out of that day saying, honey, I just don't know if that's the church for us. It's in that context that the Apostle Paul writes back to them a second time. And I want you to see how he starts this letter off. Beginning in verse number 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are here in Achaia. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And look at this. One of the first things he starts off with, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. I said, how wonderful it is as, listen, the first letter came through and they said, surely the judgment of God is going to come upon our church. There is so much sin that is here. And Paul writes back the second letter and says, I want to remind you today that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, he is the Father of mercies. And how many can rejoice with the church at Corinth and say, I'm so thankful that we serve the God and the Father of mercies in our lives, because God has not poured out upon us that which we deserve on a daily basis. And the realization of the mercies of God and really what we deserve and what he has withheld from us. Listen, it ought to make us thank God from here till the end times of eternity for the mercy that God has shown upon us, that he has not given to us what we deserve. You say, well, Pastor, what should our response be? We ought to be willing to sacrifice for him, because he has not poured out upon us the judgment that we so readily deserve. We understand this, and I saw this illustration the other day as I was researching some things, that it had a person that was down there and the judgment of the law was coming down upon them, and it had the Lord Jesus Christ sheltered over that person, that he actually took the wrath of God that was being poured out from not fulfilling the law, and the Lord Jesus Christ took all of that upon himself. Boy, by his mercy, I'm so thankful for that. And if we were just to take the time this morning and get a realization of his mercy upon our lives, I believe we would not have any problem whatsoever being willing to sacrifice our lives. Now listen, we're going to get to it. I'm not talking about going and laying down your life somewhere. I'm not saying that you're going to be part of the Bible translating project over in Iran and know that you'd give your life for it. Hey, listen, I'm not talking about dying for Christ this morning. I'm talking about living for him. I'm talking about sacrificing our lives for the Lord Jesus Christ by the mercies of God. Now, I want you to see this, not just the realization of his mercies, but I want you to see that it's a reasonable request to sacrifice. It's reasonable. You say, well, you're just saying that because it begins with R. No, I'm saying that because that's what's written in the Bible. At the end of the verse of Scripture, he said this in verse 1, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Reasonable. Can I say this? It is not unreasonable as a child of God for God to ask us to be found faithful with what Christ has done for us. I want you to see three things that I read down through here in this phrase of Scripture. First of all, I believe that it has to be willing. That's the title of our message today, willing to sacrifice. But he says this, he says that ye present. That ye present. That means that it is a choice on our sides to be able to present this to the Lord Jesus Christ. Willingly. How many, and don't raise your hand, and especially don't say anything publicly if it's for someone here. How many have ever felt obligated to give a gift to someone because they gave something to you? It's not so much of a willing sacrifice, is it? It's not so much, it's like, well, I guess I better get something for them too because they got something for me. I know they're getting me a Christmas gift. How many get to that age in families that you're like, okay, are we going to keep buying for all 35 or 100 that are in the family? Or can we just get to the point of saying, hey, Merry Christmas, I thought about you, and we have a good relationship, okay? And we don't have to go bankrupt every Christmas and birthday and everything. How many grandparents get to the point, it's like, how many grandkids do I need to buy a birthday gift for every year of my life? Sometimes, listen, hey, we get to the point when we start talking about presenting something, it's a choice on our side. And the Lord is saying that ye present. It's a willing choice that we have. And listen, it doesn't just happen one time a lifetime. But it's really on a daily basis and many times throughout the day that we have to make this conscious decision of willingly presenting, of saying, Lord, by the mercies of God, this is what you've done for me. Hey, listen, I'm imploring you. I'm beseeching you. I'm begging you, based upon the foundation and the realization of the mercies of God, that you willingly, that you present. Listen to this. It has to be a physical offering. That you present your bodies. Now, your bodies. You say, why is that? That's laying my life down for him. No, it's not laying your life down. It's living your life. And we see this, present your bodies. You say, well, why would it be presenting your bodies? Well, first of all, in the first phrase, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren. So these are people in the church here in Rome, the saints at Rome, that have been saved, that have been bought by the Lord Jesus Christ and his blood for all of eternity. And when we come over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, he starts talking and says, what? Know ye not that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost? Verse number 20 says that ye have been bought with a price. And you know what that price is? Hey, listen, we haven't been redeemed. We haven't been bought back with corruptible seed, but with the precious blood of Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ shed his blood, died there upon that cross for us, was buried, and rose again. He paid the price for us. He bought us. Therefore, Paul says in verse number 20 of 1 Corinthians 6, therefore, glorify God in your bodies. Do you understand it is not unreasonable to ask from God himself, because he owns us, that our physical bodies would be in such a way to honor and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ? That is not unreasonable. So listen, we could start right here and just preach a whole series on this. On our physical bodies. Let me ask us, are we taking care of our bodies as the temple of the Holy Ghost of God? Are we defiling the temple of the Lord Jesus Christ by the way that we live and even the things that we put into our bodies on a regular basis? It's a physical sacrifice, being willing to. But then let me make mention of this. He says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. It's a reasonable request, but this is offered without reserve. Do you understand that when a sacrifice was brought to be made in the Old Testament. For the sacrifice, it was all or nothing. There wasn't any halfway. There wasn't, hey, saying, God, you could have this part. I'll just give you the back half of the sacrifice today. It was all or nothing. Now, that's complete. Complete dedication. Now, do you understand when a sacrifice was made? And so many times we talk about sacrificing today. I don't know if we truly understand what it means to sacrifice. Even in our giving, in our financial giving to the Lord, a lot of times we give based off the premise that if I give, it's going to be given back to me. And listen, those are Bible principles. But when we get to the point of sacrificial giving, do you understand when they made a sacrifice to the Lord, if they gave one lamb, they didn't expect to go back to the fold and find 10 more waiting for them? It wasn't given in order to get, even though God takes care of everything. But even in our giving, getting to the point of sacrificial giving, it was just a choice that was being made. And it was without reserve. And when's the last time? Listen, he's not mentioning money here. He's not mentioning talent. He's not mentioning your time. He's saying that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, that's almost contradictory terms right there. A living sacrifice. In other words, listen, we are still alive, but we are alive unto Christ. And that sacrifice means that he has complete control over even our bodies of what God desires to do with our bodies. Does our bodies reflect even the Lord Jesus Christ in our everyday lives? Are we willing to sacrifice? Or do we have this little compartment of our lives that say, listen, God, you can have all the rest of this, but I'm not willing to sacrifice this over here. May I say this? Then you have not presented your body a living sacrifice unto the Lord. They did not come and offer a sacrifice there before the priest in the Old Testament tabernacle and in the temple and say, listen, I'm offering this sacrifice, but would you give me the hindquarters to be able to feed my family next week? They didn't hold anything back. When they brought that sacrifice, it was completely and wholly offered unto the Lord and say, Lord, this is all yours. Willing to sacrifice. When's the last time that we said, listen, hey, boy, I was burdened about some of our young people. We got our teenagers in here. I know junior church is taking place downstairs right now. I was thinking about our young families. When's the last time? Listen, there were some young men and ladies when 9/11 took place 20 years ago that they went down and said, sign me up on the dotted line. I'm giving everything for this. When's the last time we're having some young people and some young families that based upon the mercies of God in their life, that they're saying, hey, God, I'm signing on the dotted line and here's my life for you. Whatever you want done, that's what I'm going to do. Where are the young families saying, hey, my life is yours, Lord? Because of the mercies of God that you've bestowed upon me. Listen, I got to be raised in a Christian home. I got to read this book. Listen, some of the first things I read, Brother Bill, were from the Word of God. And there's people that are being born and living and dying and never once reading a verse of Scripture and how blessed and privileged and honored we are here in America, but for what God has done for us. And where's those that are willing to say, hey, listen, because of the catastrophe that's taking place around this world, I'm signing on the dotted line, and God, here's my life for you. Willing to sacrifice. Willing to lay down their lives for what the Lord has. And can I just remind you, that's not just for our young people and our young families. It's not. It's for 50 and 60 and 70-year-olds saying, Lord, I'm going to sell out for you. Here's my body. Whatever you want me to do while I'm here on this earth, then, Lord, my life is yours. Willing to sacrifice. But then can I say this? In order for that to happen, this third and final, we see in verse number 2 that there has to be a readiness to change. A readiness to change. And he says this, verse number 2, and be not conformed to this world. In other words, don't allow your life to actually change and be formed around the principles and the concepts and the vices of this world. Don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Do you understand the difference? Conforming is something that's taking place on the outside, but transforming is something that is taking place from the inside out. But be transformed, and it starts right here with the renewing of your mind. Do you understand? Any change in your life starts right here. Starts right here. You say, I want to present my body a living sacrifice. Listen, there's some that have high and lofty goals of presenting their bodies and doing great things for God, but they can't even be in church faithfully on a regular basis. I want to do great things for God, but we can't even read our Bibles on a regular basis. I want to do great things for God, but we don't even spend time in prayer. I want my family to live for God, but the husband and wife are in constant odds and fighting and arguing all the time. Do you understand? For those things to change, it has to start right here. And it takes determination and discipline and dedication. Be not conformed to this world. There's some things that we just need to settle in our minds that'll make it into our hearts. That'll say, listen, I'm being transformed by the renewing of your mind that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And I'm asking the Lord, God, would you give us a church, Lord, that's, listen, we're not just all about the religious duties. I'm not talking about chalking off an attendance record. I'm talking about a group of Christians that'll say, Lord, here's my life. And willing to sacrifice. How many are so thankful for those men and women that have laid down their lives for our nation and paid the ultimate sacrifice? I'm thankful for every one of them. Come November, I think the second Sunday in November, one, the first or second, whichever is closest to the 11th, we'll be honoring and thanking our veterans that have chosen to serve. Can I say this beyond that? They're not doing it because of the mercy of their heart for us. But the Lord Jesus Christ died on Calvary out of mercy and bestowed grace upon us. And I'm asking, Lord, would you help us to lay down our lives as a living sacrifice? In other words, we're living our life. The Lord Jesus Christ is in complete control, submission to the Holy Ghost of God. And Lord, my life is yours to control. We sing a song in the songbook from time to time. King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be. Lest I forget Gethsemane. Brings us back to the cross. Lead me to Calvary. Let me see the mercies of God that were bestowed and poured out upon us, because the Father of mercies is asking us, he's asking you, he's asking me, would you present your bodies a living sacrifice? Would you be willing to sacrifice? I believe this. I believe we're full of red-blooded Americans here today that love freedom. Some maybe from another country, you name the country. I believe you've got nationalism, patriotism. You know something? If I was called upon and they said, listen, it's come all the way down to you. Listen, we're in rough shape if they're knocking at my door and saying, you're the hope. I sure pray that I'd be willing to say, I'll do whatever I can. You know what the Lord is saying to us? Look around this world. Look at the souls that are without Christ. Look at your neighborhood. Look at your region. Look at your family. Look at what God requires of us. Are you willing to sacrifice? Whatever it takes, that, Lord, is what I'm willing to do. Now, maybe you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. And listen, you've been trying to sacrifice for religion all your life. Listen, it starts with a relationship with Christ. Starts with a relationship. There's people that have spent their lives sacrificing in the name of religion, and it's not going to amount to a hill of beans when they get standing before God. Not a bit. Not going to amount, not going to credit for anything, because you don't have Jesus. And I'm asking in our lives, what is it, young people? What is it, adults? I'm not talking about money, not talking about time, not talking about talents. I'm talking about our physical bodies, our lives. Would we be willing to sacrifice based on the foundation of the mercies of God that He's bestowed upon us?